My name is Alex.
My name is Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's the man of the booth, Booth Man.
Replacement Booth Man.
He's practically permanent these days.
So Pete, just a little heads up, is feeling a little sick today.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too well. I'm not going to try to get you guys sick.
He had a choice, which was to spend money on comic books or medicine. So guess which one he chose.
Yeah.
Well, he asked for mutant growth hormone at the pharmacy, and apparently they were out.
I tried a healing factor. They really don't have much at the pharmacy that could help. So and also a little heads up, Alex is not in a weird fighting stage with his wife.
He just forgot it.
It's in his bathroom. It's okay.
You guys, while I'm here, I'm married to the comic book club.
We have a different kind of ring for comic book club.
We have a great show for you.
By the way, nothing's going on with Justin. We're talking.
Same old for JT. Wearing a vest tonight.
We're gonna really get into it with our guest, which I'm very excited about. We're really gonna like get into some personal stuff. So let's bring him out. Ladies and gentlemen, Emmy Award winner, Elliot Kalin!
Comic Club is known as like the place to come after the Emmys for a lot of Emmy winners. So thank you for
the 60th year of the Emmys this year, and it was the 60th year that someone from the Emmys has come to Comic Club.
Exactly.
So
yeah, it's pretty amazing. We try to really hit it like 2 days or so afterwards. Real hard news.
Don Rickles will be joining us later.
He's walking from LA.
He's going to be very ornery when he gets here.
That's all.
Because usually he wouldn't be. He takes a cross-country walk.
Well, the problem is no one will ever get him an airfare. He has to walk everywhere. That's why he's like, fuck you, blah, blah, blah. We could talk Rickles all night.
So, Elliot, you work on The Daily Show. You write for The Daily Show now.
Yes.
So
I'm going to be writing soon. I've been producing for years. And they recently added me to the writing staff. Well, producing involves writing also, you know. But it's stupid titles. But they added me to the writing staff, and they've been pushing forward my start date as a writer week after week. So, soon.
That really sounds very convincing.
So, soon, congratulations.
Thank you. Save your congratulations till next week.
Okay. So, do you get an Emmy next week, or when do you get it?
What I'll be getting is, for work, because my name wasn't on the ballot this year, so I'll be getting a certificate in the mail saying I worked on the show in this year that it won.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've got, you know, I got a bunch of those, whatever.
Do you have enough to paper mache an award?
Maybe. The small one.
Okay.
How long have you been doing paper mache?
It has been a hobby of mine, or rather a passion of mine.
Yeah. Thank you for
a long time. Yeah. It started with volcanoes, and it continues today with more volcanoes.
And also, you're a comic book fan.
Yes.
How long have you been a comic book fan? What got you into it?
I've been a fan of kind of comics in general, you know, since I was wee. But I remember the first comic I ever, that I remember buying for myself was during, and this will show you how young I am or old, depending on your relative age, was during Spider-Man's 30th anniversary in 1992. Was...
Was that yum? Oh, yum. Yeah.
They might have said yum.
Yeah.
I have a naturally high sugar content.
Yeah. I've noticed that. Pete's diabetic, so stay away from that.
But it was Web of Spider-Man number 90, which was, like, I was getting into comics late. I knew because there were holograms on everything already. But I remember very well reading, as a kid, a Superman comic where he fought a snake with feathers. Part of some
one feather snake.
It was some larger feather probably. And in Web of Spider-Man, I think 51, where he fought a werewolf. And I remember as a kid not knowing the history of Man-Wolf and everything, being like, this doesn't make sense. Spider-Man and werewolves are two different things.
I don't belong.
And you know, before that, there were a lot of Archie comics and things, but those don't really count.
No. Yeah, don't say that again.
The same way that if someone was like, when did you really start getting into literature? I'm like, well, you know.
I read a lot of Maxim.
That wouldn't count. Yeah. That wouldn't count.
And what have you been into now? You've been reading a lot of Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion is something that I've been following to kind of despite myself.
Okay.
The same way that, like, I was watching Studio 60. Watching it made me mad, but then like I'd come back and I'd be like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And so Secret Invasion, I'm like every issue on the week, this is the one where it's the next day and something happens, and it's not just that they fight some guys and then a bunch of new guys come in at the end and say like, let's end this.
Yeah.
So far that's been every issue.
And in a big way in the last issue.
I think I might be one issue behind.
Just as a spoiler,
okay.
The issue you're on, they're in Times Square still, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do they get out of Times Square?
Yeah, they go to Central Park.
Oh!
It's crazy. It's like
Brian Michael Bendis has not been to New York, but he's like seen the map.
Yeah, right. Like, where can I stage this?
Like, I guess they'll go to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the Skrulls are playing some Wicked Ultimate. The Avengers show up and shit goes down because they do not play.
That's what happens in Central Park.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
But they had the same problem with World War Hulk, where I was like, World War Hulk, the name is awesome. Like, he's going all over the world beating the shit out of every superhero. But instead, it took place over the course of like a night in New York, and it was like all the heroes came to him and he beat them up, and then it was over.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this a little bit last week, but it's the same thing as Secret Invasion. Again, there's a little bit of spoiler for the next issue. But it goes from Skrulls attacking to immediately humans being like, welcome our new alien masters! In the span of about an hour.
I think they kind of forgot that, like sometimes it happens in the comics that people forget that the time between issues, even people make them, is not the same as the time the time we experience is not the same as the characters.
Right.
So Bendis must be like, oh, the invasion's been going on for 6 months. People are getting tired, they're giving in, whereas in comic book time, it's like an afternoon.
They even say in the front, Secret Invasion Frontline, they're like, invasion plus 49 minutes. And that's literally all the time that happened over the whole series.
Do you remember there was a sketch that the state did years ago where it was a guy's in a coma for one afternoon and the entire world has changed around him? Like his wife is remarried and Martians have taken over the Earth. Like, it's the same basic thing. And he's like, how long was I out? Like, it was just hours. That's how I feel Secret Invasion. Like, they're just like, how long are they going to be in the Savage Land for?
Yeah.
Just 10 minutes or so.
But somehow I felt like forever. I was like, could get out of the Savage Land, but here forever.
Whereas the Avengers storyline that Buziak ended his run on with the Kang War felt like forever, but it took forever.
So yes. I don't know if that was a comic.
That was a storyline where that started off on a huge, like, good note. This is for anyone who's reading comics 4 years ago. But, I don't know.
That's what we're talking about. We talk about stuff that came out this week and also 4 years ago.
But then it was like this long storyline and Kang was destroying the whole world. In the other titles, the world was fine, but in Avengers, like, the whole world was destroyed. And then it ended up being a fist fight between hologram Kang and hologram Captain America, and that beat him. And it was like, oh, okay. Because there was a lot of strategic maneuvering all over the planet for it to end with two holograms punching each other.
How low is that? That they can't even have a real fight. They were like, let's settle this with holograms.
Well, they were
giant space holograms.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could settle stuff with holograms, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Totally. I would be a hologram right now, and I'd be at home.
All right, let's move on with our first section, which we like to call the stack. Talk about today is DC Universe Decisions number one. Finally bringing politics to the DC Universe, the most realistic of superhero universes.
This is a comic book.
What do you guys think about this
issue? Four. Interesting.
What do you guys think about this issue?
Well, I feel like there's a lot going on with
a
the election
endorsement.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on with the elections and all this stuff.
In
the real world, and it's a big topic. So I could just see him sitting around being like, "All right, guys, we got to come up with something here, and
we got to make DC relevant again."
Yeah. So,
yeah, right.
So I feel like they kind of did some interesting things. I didn't hate it as much as I thought, but that's how
he first fell in love with his fiance.
What is that? Damn you, hologram Justin. I don't know. I felt like it was. I just hate when it's like, oh darn you, Green Arrow, in your big mouth. You always get yourself in trouble. It was just like, oh man.
I like the idea that the superheroes have to make a political choice. It's an interesting idea, but unfortunately, in this, it's so wordy. They're just like, yeah, what are we gonna do about
this? It felt like they're trying to say, oh, we're writing a political comic book, so we have to make it important. And the way we do it important is everybody talks a lot.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happens throughout the book. I also feel Judd Winnick, Bill Willingham, I'm usually totally fine with both of them or really like their work. I know people have problems with both of the writers. I think their worst impulses come out of this.
Right.
The character writing is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Batman saying things like, well, Superman, why don't you use your heat vision? You know, the vision that comes out of your eyes.
It's like someone had never seen... It's like someone had never seen the DC Universe and looked at a lunchbox and were like, all right, I got these characters.
I just don't understand why Superman thinks he has a stake in this election. He was not born in the United States, not a naturalized citizen.
But he's pretending to be one.
Well, that's voter fraud. Wonder Woman is a foreign diplomat, so she shouldn't have any. She should be keeping out of this also.
Well, so far it's Green Arrow.
Right, this is bullshit. This, come on, DC. Who's counting the votes in this universe?
Darkseid.
The other thing about this is they're like, they're trying. There's a bomb. A bomb goes off, and they're like, we have to figure out what villain it is. And Batman's like, well, they go through the database and look through the whole thing. And it gets to a point where, like, there are 96 people left in the database with mind control powers. And Robin's like, well, let's take out all the people that Batman has as secret operatives placed in villain organizations. And when they count it down, it goes from 96 to 28. So this book is saying that Batman has 68 villains out there on his payroll. They call him up and are like, well, we're going to do this.
No, here's the thing. It's not just 68 villains on his payroll. It's 68 villains who have mind control specifically as their power.
Right, on his payroll. So he's running shit.
Yeah.
It's
what's
going on. It's just like a, what's it called? It's like a split personality, except it's just one personality. You know?
Yeah.
He's his own worst enemy, but he knows it. Like the new hit show, My Own Worst Enemy.
With Christian Slater.
Starring the star of South Beach Academy, Christian Slater.
Well, you've been writing the ads.
The other thing is, I feel like the other 20 villains sit around and are like, man, how do we get a Batman's payroll?
They're like, I just got to run out and call Batman. Ooh, and the other guy's like, oh, I have to call him too. Let's make a conference call. Like, what's the point of having villains or heroes when Batman's...
I do like the comic book thinking of, like, someone is blowing up presidential candidates. It must be a supervillain.
Yeah.
Because that never happens otherwise.
Yeah, right.
This is perfectly within the bounds of human achievement. But it must be. It's probably some guy with superpowers.
Who else could make a bomb? Because that's a supervillain.
Yeah.
It's probably Bombo.
It reminds me of in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie where they were fighting, it's like 1898 and they're or 1900 and they're fighting to stop a world war from happening, and they're like, we did it, we stopped the world war. Great. Well, okay, there's 14 more years.
Yeah. Well, then they all turn to the camera and be like, can you stop? Maybe it was the cut I had. I have a lot of really exclusive directors.
Would you say pick this up?
I'm going to buy the next one, so whatever that means.
I'm still stuck on that. That's ridiculous.
Actually, don't pick this up.
Right.
All right, let's move on.
Right.
Let's go on and talk about the age of the century. History of the show.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about this issue? Old school fun with the century.
I like
you
it.
You took exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say old timey fun with the century, but
and that was not exactly what you were going to say.
Good. Wow. Great points, guys. Save this fight for backstage. It's good. It is very fun, and the century is such a great character to do this with because he has such a dark kind of side, if you know the character. And to be able to play all this Silver Age stuff with that underneath it makes it a really, like, complex storyline, which I like, even though it seems so simple.
Yeah, this is really fun. There's a lot of fun that's had in the issue, both in terms of it being a silly Silver Age story, and it really feels like it, with a guy who has three brains on top of his head and things like that. But at the same time, there's also fun, this is going to sound totally stupid when I say it out loud, but with the printing process, where there's things like, colors!
The inks are so fun in this!
They are.
I know. I didn't tell you what I said.
Oh, all right.
Sorry. Did I sound sarcastic? You did. I can't control that part.
There's like the inks are misaligned like they were in old comic books. There's things where it says story continues on the next page. Also printed in ink. That wasn't part of the subheading, I guess. Anyway,
ink.
It's...
What would comics be without it?
We're going to just talk about ink.
Comics unsung hero.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful.
I'll just shut up.
Yeah. Quit knocking ink. We all love ink.
You just gave me my first essay for the comics journal. Right now, it's just ink. It's great, not ink king, but you know,
just the ink. Physical,
the physical product. Yeah,
That's what, like an entire issue.
I think so. We can have a roundtable discussion on it.
The words you're reading right now wouldn't be possible without ink.
Think you're not enjoying ink right now? Think again.
For the ink alone.
Let's talk about the next heavily inked book, Captain Britain and the MI-13.
Yeah.
Number 5. What did you think about this? Pete, I know you enjoyed certain elements of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just continuing to be fantastic. It's tough when you really fall in love with an idea, and then after a while it goes in a different direction, but it's really keeping pace, and... I'm excited for each one of these issues when they come out, so it's like enjoyable.
It's such an offbeat book. Like, they picked up the character Blade from and added it to the team out of nowhere. Like, who has been doing anything with Blade?
Plus, because of that, it's like, you know, a lot of times you'll have certain characters that you know what Blade's all about. You're like, oh, why is Blade here? Oh man, I hope he's here for what he's here for. And then you get the payoff, and it's just like.
Killing vampires.
Yeah, that's right. Oh. I thought you meant like being like leather.
For those of you who haven't read the first couple of issues of the series, it is great. Deals with a bunch of British superheroes initially fighting the Skrull invasion of Britain, which is so much better than the Skrull invasion of Times Square.
So true.
And really, really great, really fun. It almost feels like the first four issues. We're almost like a zero-issue pilot, and then this issue is the actual pilot for the series. Yeah. There's a bunch of great character moments in here. Really fun, funny, well done.
And it only took them 3 issues to defeat the Skrulls in this. What are we on? 8? 7?
Yeah.
It seems like forever on the main titles.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is
everything's faster in Britain because they're older. I think I know a little bit more about Britain than you guys.
Wearing the vest.
Like
wearing the vest. Hello.
Is that how you talk to Britain? Hello.
I'm British. You guys don't know about me?
No. Let's go on. Talk about War Heroes number 2. I know there was a big part of this that you loved, right, Pete?
You know, I really loved the first issue. I thought it was very cool, very creative. Basically, if you don't know what's going on, you know, the war going on, obviously, in Iraq and Iran and all that kind of stuff.
What?
This is what's going on in the comic.
Guys, let's lay it out. There's a war going on in Iraq.
Yeah. So that's going on.
Spoiler.
And nobody wants to fight anymore in the comic. And so they said, hey, if...
Because in real life, people are still raring.
Last time I didn't specify, and you guys jumped on me, so I wanted to make sure.
This is what's considered a work of ridiculous fiction.
Yeah. So they said, hey, you know what? If you sign up for the army, we'll give you superhero power pills. And so they're giving all these kids power pills, and they can fly and throw tanks and all sorts of crazy stuff. And, yeah, and that's the only way they'll sign up. And they're doing it. They're signing up. And
well, they're also giving the pills to fight the war.
Yes.
That's
the whole thing. Yeah.
We'll give you superhero pills to fight for us, but you can only use them in your spare time.
Recreational use. Yeah.
I don't
want to
see you using
serious.
Your super strength
so,
on the battle. Yeah.
So, anyways, the big problem with issue number two, I was on board. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Where is this going to go? It's drawn really well. The writing is great. But then the guy uses his superpowers to blast the guy in his crotch, and then it's just a dick and nut shot for two panels.
This is what kills me about Mark Millar. Is he's,
why?
The ideas are great, and then he has to do something. He's like, this is so fucking provocative. I'll show a dick on the page. It's stupid. It's unnecessary and ridiculous. And the idea is cool, and the last page...
Wait, the idea is cool?
The idea for the series,
oh,
where, like...
Yes.
have you ever seen a dick? Like, it's great, and it's big, and it's big. I love the idea. I mean, the idea for the series is good. Superpowers, getting them, and using that to trick people to kind of join the army. And then the way this issue unfolds is... A lot of this group signs up, and they're going to they're pulling off a big heist. And I will spoil it here. The last page, they're like, "We're going to sell our pills to Al Qaeda." And so I'm like, "Oh, that's really interesting. The way that could play out."
Because they just want people to fight fair. That's really what they're about.
Wow, that's ridiculous. and in the end, like I found the next cover is a. It's kind of stereotypical Middle Easterner on a wing of a plane.
With a couple of scimitars.
Yeah, I think that's such a weird...
And his wang is exposed.
Yeah.
Did it talk about itself as if it's a realistic story, or no?
It's set in the near future, so it's definitely saying, like, what if?
Because I was talking to my friend Matt, came by, about the series Kick-Ass.
Right.
Coming out, and it was like, here's what happened when real people put costumes on. And it's like, no, it's not at all.
Yeah.
There's blood everywhere, and there's a 10-year-old girl with swords that can cut people's legs off. And like, this is...
She cuts through a guy's head like a skull.
Yeah,
like, her arms are like smaller than my little dick arms.
There's no way that a child would have that. But I just remember in the ads it was like, what if a guy really decided to put on a costume? And like, there's blood pouring out of his face, and you know, he should be dead three times over.
Yeah.
It's the first three issues. He basically was beaten within an inch of his life. He had cracked in half, his back broken, and his teeth ripped out. And then the next issue, he's like, I guess it won't be a superhero anymore. But otherwise, he was fine.
Yeah.
Well, then I
guess it's back to school, and it's like they should have removed him from his father at that.
Yeah. And they try to make it so current, being like, well, I have a bunch of hits on YouTube. So I guess I need to get back out on the streets and fight crime.
So basically,
where is
saying
this logic?
Mark Millar is like somebody's grandpa.
Yeah, well, yeah, like he's
like, YouTube is cool. The kids like.
I mean, mention it. People love the big dicks. That's how my grandfather talks. You don't read his comic though. It's terrible. It's a terrible comic. It's about a talking dick.
Please stop.
Would you say pick this up?
No.
I like it, except for the, you know.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right, let's move on and talk about greatest hits. Number one, basically positing what if the Beatles were superheroes. Not specifically the Beatles.
They were.
Yeah.
That's well, not musical superheroes.
Why?
They were.
Yeah. They were.
Really. Again, this comic, I mean, fine with the whole Beatles thing. It could be fun. I was kind of into it. But then they have all these fucking ridiculous, over-the-top, gross stuff going on in sidebars that's just
there are
ridiculous.
Dicks all over the place. Yes.
Well, this lady comes out of an office after giving this guy a BJ and then spits cum into a waste bar.
Oh, it's a highbrow.
Yes.
Wow!
Sorry, Bill beats sick because he just said that.
Yeah. The infection has reached his
normally
brain.
He would have been like, we know because this girl came out of an office and after giving him and she's been in a
That's the Benny Hill version of the show.
He can't say the word waste basket. So you have a cutting between two time periods, one when this Beatles-esque group is forming, getting together, And then the modern day, with the scene that Pete just described, is the son of one of the heroes is considering making a documentary about them.
Yeah.
And it is very schizophrenic. It's a very schizophrenic book. The stuff that takes place with them getting together is great.
Yeah.
Really good, works really well, because it is a lot of fun giving them the same sort of celebrity as the Beatles and characters as the Beatles.
Yeah.
The stuff in the modern day is stupid.
Yeah. Yep. I like both sides, and I'm excited to see them come together. I just hated the guy that looked like...
I was like, you only caught that. The fucking slow one. I don't want to go into another grandma story.
Yeah.
Grandpa.
Don't get me started on grandma. The only thing is here, the guy, I just, you guys all know I hate Paul McCartney. To see him in the
oh my god, what?
Fuck Paul McCartney. Oh! With zombie versions of their heroes. Now it's apes, and every book that's coming out in the next 2 or 3 months has apes on the cover. They're missing out on Marvel Vampires, where they could have 100 issues of the vampires on the cover. The fact that they combine them here makes me think, what are they thinking? Because this is stupid. And that is also stupid, but usually you want to spread out your stupid. That's what I try to do.
I don't want to get too deep into the psychology of this, because I was actually surprised. I thought the first issue was fine. No, I didn't. I thought, okay, so they have a character, the Gibbon, who is a Z-level Spider-Man villain, gets sent to this world where everybody is apes, so there's like Spider-Ape and Hulk-Ape and Captain-Ape.
Do they have an ape in their name?
Some of them.
Spider-Monkey is what they call him. And
the friendly neighborhood Spider-Monkey.
Do they ever delve into, like, I assume there must be a huge number of race issues with those kinds of, like, monkeys and gorillas and...
No, they don't even touch on that. They're happy to make Iron Mandrill a character and have him be a wicked punk. So.
The thing is, though, at the end of the last issue...
I guess, as I was saying before the show, it's not a realistic look at what an ape-based society would be like. They live in trees, but they still have buildings. It doesn't make sense.
They live in trees, but they drink coffee in this issue. They're like all sitting there like, oh,
yeah, it's the same thing as like in The Little Mermaid. Why do they have steps in the castle?
What just happened? You just quoted The Little Mermaid like you watch it nightly.
He didn't quote it. He really dissected it.
Let's move on.
Come on.
Let's move on. I don't want to think about The Little Mermaid.
That's weird.
Marvel apes. End of last issue. Captain Ape America and a bunch of the other ones started beating up Dr. Ape to
Chris. Is the country called Ape America?
I don't know. I don't even remember. But, you know, they were more violent. They beat up the villain, they were going to kill the villain. I thought, that's interesting, they're actually showing something to apes. Turns out they're beating him up because they're vampires. That's my whole story.
And then he drinks their blood. And there's a backup story featuring the Watcher who's wasted drinking. You were saying earlier there's this terrible...
At the end, he's too drunk and he passes out and he hits his head and he goes, like, shades of William Holden or something like that.
Yeah.
That's how William Holden died.
Yeah.
He got drunk and hit his head on a table and bled to death.
That's offensive.
Yeah, thank you.
And this is supposed to be like
there's
light
fans of Stalag 17 here. You should be so insulted right now.
Yeah. Anyway, great book.
Go pin down Marvel's offices and then tell them it was because of Marvel Apes number 2. But there's nothing they can do about it because their offices are going to be burned down.
Yeah.
So, it's not like they can issue a correction or anything.
Yeah.
So pick this up.
So
let's move on and talk about Action Comics 869, continuing the Brainiac arc. What do you guys think about this?
This was a little letdown for me. I was really excited about the last couple of issues have been fantastic, and this one I felt like I was yelling at the comic as I was reading it. It was one of those things where, you know, Supergirl is fighting for her life. And Superman's just kind of looking around at all the worlds, just kind of like, oh, this is a nice collection of universes here.
Well, they're in two
different
places.
There's one I came from. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, fucking, the Earth is being attacked. If you're so worried about it, why don't you get down?
He doesn't know about that.
Well, if he's fighting Brain, he should put some two and two together, is my point.
Do some math, Superman!
Yeah. It was just upset the fact that everybody's fighting for their life and Superman's like in a museum.
I will say, regardless of anything, this is the best work Gary Frank has ever done.
Love it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Excellent art.
Just flipping through it now, it looks great. He's one of the few guys who can do really good facial expressions.
Yes. Yeah.
Right now.
And make people look different. Their bodies look different. Yeah. They don't all look the same. It's great.
And beyond that, the story is great. I love the way they're really kind of exploring a new and interesting area of the Superman world. Like, this is all setting up the new Krypton storyline, in which there will be a new planet Krypton.
There's something on the cover here that the Grant Morrison of 2137 will pick up on and make a part of DC continuity, because they had to... they were drinking beer on the cover, and DC didn't want to get that across, so they put on the label of the bottles they're holding, it just says soda pop in very obvious letters. And so I want, like, someday in the future, the Grant Morrison in the future will be like, I better write the history of the Soda Pop Corporation into DC to explain this change on this cover of Action Comics 869.
Just so you guys understand, the Grant Morrison of 2137 is Grant Morrison.
Yeah, it's the same guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
But a robot.
He's already a robot.
Just to elaborate on this a little bit, they actually printed this issue, saw that there was beer on the cover, and then destroyed it. So because Superman doesn't drink beer, and then reprinted the entire thing so it said soda pop.
That's the second, Batman and Robin All-Star, they had to destroy that one because they...
Third, actually, because they also destroyed DCU Decisions because it sucked so hard.
Yeah. And then we just destroyed it. Right, guys?
Take this up, right?
Yes, no, great.
All right, let's go on with another Superman title, closing out the stack. All-Star Superman, number 12, by the Grant Morrison of 2008.
The current Grant Morrison.
Yes, what'd you guys think about this?
That's so awesome.
Really good. Not my favorite issue of the series, because I feel like he had to deal with it, kind of everything he laid out in the first half. But I love the kind of mythological status Superman gets at the end. Really nice. I want to read it as a whole series.
I think it's a great ending. I think he did a heck of a job, and it didn't go to crazy town. It really was a solid arc.
Relatively.
Yeah. For Grant Morrison, I mean, it was just solid, awesome. I was confused. I wasn't like, what the fuck?
I agree with you, Justin. I think this wasn't my favorite issue of the series. That doesn't mean it wasn't better than everything else that came out this week.
Yeah.
For a very long time. This is a classic series, I think, bar none. The problem with this particular issue is it's dealing with plot of the series.
Right.
And the best thing in the series was the individual issues that just showed Superman as he should be. And these are the panels that work best in here. Things like Lois shouting, I love you, after Superman when he goes to save the world. is amazing, amazing, amazing.
And reading this makes me think, like, how did he write this so well, and all of the stuff he's writing now is terrible. Like, it's so overwrought and ridiculous, like you were saying about the soda pop thing. Like, this, he's just writing a story, and he's not, like, taking one issue of Batman being like, this is real, don't you see? This is real now! I made it real! And in this, there's so much heart, and R.I.P., and all of the final credits, there's no heart in it.
I don't know. I think it might be partially because he wrote this a long time ago, and it just took Frank Quitely a while to draw.
What happened to Grant?
I wouldn't be surprised if it has something to do with cats, with his pet cats. He seemed to control his... He's like, I wrote the filth because my pet cat died, and I needed to get through that. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, there's a cat that dies in it, but, you know, otherwise, this bizarre science fiction series, his life seems to be run by his pets. So, like most cat owners.
Do you have a cat?
I don't have one, but I know many
cat
owners.
That's how it is.
Maybe when he was writing Batman, it turned out that his cat was actually a cat from 36 years ago, but in a different crazy costume.
Wow. Man, my girlfriend wants to get a cat. I don't know if I should
do that. Don't
it might
do
make
it.
Me weird. Weirder.
Yeah. And that's it for the stack. It is now time for my favorite section. My favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions for that. We're going to go to Booth Bad.
Booth Bad.
Hello.
So, first question. Wyatt was here earlier in the month. How do you think he's doing?
I think that's a question for you.
Oh, for me?
Yeah, Wyatt.
Oh, he's actually very tired today. he flew back very late last night, and I saw him today, and he had a hat very low, close to his eyes. And I was like, Wyatt, are you okay? He was like, I'm just tired, man. And he didn't say that much else today. So.
Cool.
Wow, that was very specific.
You ask me about somebody I see on a daily basis.
No, I know. You guys all know why, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. See?
We're like this.
great question. This has to be about somebody else very specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Who asked that? I got
Next question.
Wait. First, just raise your hand if you ask the question. Oh, yeah. Bring you a gift. Next question, please.
It's also related to Daily Show.
That's
all right. And this one is, why Daily? Shouldn't it be Nightly Show?
Oh,
wow. In your face.
That's a good question. I don't know. Wow. I'm going to quit now.
Yeah.
Unless they change it. I mean, it's not even on every day, so it's not the name is wrong altogether.
Yeah.
But the real problem with it is everyone over the age of about 37 who I talk to says, like, oh, yeah, that show with John Daly. It's like, no, it's not the pro golfer John Daly.
Who says that? Who doesn't know?
Well, like my parents' friends, you know. I should have said over the age of 50.
Yeah,
right.
I love. They're super into golf,
like,
but they don't watch any television.
Yeah, like, there's a word in the title. It must be the man's name. Yeah. Anyway, that's,
I wish maybe John Daly. You should have him on the show. Can you write him in?
That would be a funny bit.
It would
you should
be.
Do that as a bit for your show.
That's
your,
my favorite thing that anyone says to me. Ever. My family will be arguing at Thanksgiving. Actually, I don't see my Thanksgiving anymore. But I go to my girlfriend's family on Thanksgiving. They live in California.
Is that really fair though?
No, but yeah, I like hanging out there. But
what do your parents think about this?
They were unhappy about it, but they see me at every other holiday. So they said that it's okay. But at other holidays, like, my aunt and my uncle will be arguing, and then they'll be like, oh, this better not end up on that show, on the Daily Show.
Yeah.
You better not see this on the Daily Show. It's like, oh, I guess my topical news parody show that I work for won't cover the argument you're having over how dry the turkey is. Maybe we won't. I'll make sure John doesn't cover this one.
Yeah. But that's awesome.
They go, you can do this as a skit on your show.
Yeah.
Not a sketch show.
And even the term skit is kind of
awesome. Even that's a condescending term.
It is. But I always say, I'm not a summer camp mom. I'm a professional comedian. And then I cry a little bit.
Cool.
Appropriately personal.
Next one, I guess it's directed towards any of you guys. If you could
we only take questions about the day.
Yeah, no more religion. If you could take overrating for any comic, who would you choose?
Ooh.
Well,
definitely All-Star Superman. I can do a much better job than that.
Than that hack.
Yeah.
Batman RFP.
Pete, I think you were mentioning the other day a comic that you would...
Well, see, I mean, there's two kind of ways to go about it here. Am I, like, realistically trying to, like, make a name for myself? Because that means you would have to go for a lower-level comic and then build up the, you know... readership for it, and then you could work your way up to the dream comic, which would obviously be the Punisher, Wolverine, or the Hulk.
Yeah, I have a maybe.
It's 1996.
Yeah. Careful.
I didn't mean that.
Yeah. You found his Achilles heel.
If it was 1996, you would have said Punisher, Wolverine, or Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Yeah, the very slight difference if you beat now and beat then. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you could take over Punisher right now, what would you have to do?
Oh, well, I mean...
Keep in mind bringing your own flavor to
the book. I don't shit stuff!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Okay, we've had it. You've appeased your base. Let's move on. Let's move on to something. I don't know. I would want to write maybe fables. I think that would be a good one to write because I like that stuff. I would like to write. I love Ex Machina because it has it's so much different than other comics to be able to write that.
I don't think I'm gonna say.
Like Witch of the Rose?
No, it's worse than that, I think.
What?
Power Pack?
It's true, you wouldn't want to do that. That's not terrible. Actually, Power Pack's good right now. That's a high bar to meet.
Wow. See what I did? I got really embarrassed. And then you guys could make fun of me.
Yes, we can.
What would you want to write if you had a chance?
Pre-existing titles. That's a good question. I mean, the sentimental won't be Spider-Man because it's the best. He's the best character in comics history.
It's never gonna happen.
I know.
Wow!
Until they ruined it.
My dream character would probably be D-Man, semi-homeless former Avenger who. There's just so much you could do with it. Like, I want to do a series where he is just traveling around the country.
With a bindle and...
Yeah, pretty much. Like, and dealing with... I get the initiative kind of has shot down this idea a little bit that exists, but the idea that, like, you know, there are superheroes in other cities, but they're just not that well-known because, like, they live in St. Louis or Cleveland or things like that. And
it's like Highway to Heaven meets, like... Bad superhero.
Yeah, pretty much.
But so it's just Highway to Heaven.
Right.
Sorry,
Alex.
Oh my god.
Well, we all start work tomorrow. Yeah. So that's it for the audience questions. Yay! All right, it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
First thing we are going to talk about last night, 3 hours of Heroes.
Yeah!
Unbelievable. Three of the crappiest hours of
my life. Come on.
If you got upset, you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I mean, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Really? Why?
Last season, I was just, I couldn't watch. I had to turn it off. But at least this, I watched all of it.
But you could stomach the apple.
Yeah.
That's not a glowing review.
You're eating something gross, and you're like, oh, I didn't throw that off.
I mean,
he ate all four hot dogs he had for dinner.
I don't think they should put it on for 3 hours. That's too much. I was like, come on. I kept getting up like, oh, it's over. Oh, fuck.
So how did you like it? You were like tortured, nauseous.
No, I didn't say I liked it. I said it, you know, wasn't the worst 3 hours that I thought it could have been.
You expected to shoot your television show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The show was over.
Well, you've been to his house, he has a loaded gun. I don't know, it's just so ridiculous the way it's all comic book tropes, stuff that we all, as comic readers, I don't see. It's there's no
Greatest American Hero was in it, that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, but he didn't do anything cool. And the way it treats the audience like they're idiots, and that's terrible.
Well, I don't even think it necessarily treats the audience like they're idiots so much as they think they're being super smart across the board, but they're not. They zero amount of the time ever are.
And it's comic book bad. Halfway through the first episode that they aired, a hero who can travel through time gets a DVD from his dad who died. George Takei, and he's like, oh, I should watch this, and he watches it, and George Takei says, whatever you do, don't open the safe.
Yeah.
Don't open the safe. So Hero's like, the video ends, he's like, I must open the safe.
Yeah.
And he opens the safe, and it pulls it out, and he opens the envelope and says, press play again. And the DVD pops back up, same one, and on it, George Takei says, I thought you might open the safe. Now that you have this super secret formula, don't lose it. He's like, okay. And just then, a Flash type character runs in and runs out with the form. it's so ridiculous. It's comically terrible.
So she was waiting there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting
it's
for
like
you.
In Indiana Jones when they creep into the temple that no one's been in years since the ox got, you know, turned crazy. And there are guys crawling out of the walls who I guess have been waiting there for decades.
Yeah.
just crouched in the walls of this temple in case someone happened by.
You know, eating stone and stuff.
Yeah.
But smoking cigarettes, complaining about their day job.
You missed the worst part, because he says, oh, they were like, how do you open the safe? He goes, it's got to be a button. And he opens up a box, and in the box is a card that has a button in the middle of it.
Yeah, and then he presses it.
Yeah, and then he presses it, and that opens up the safe. I was like, what the?
Yeah, ridiculous.
The whole thing, I mean, and then they did the same thing that they always do, which is they give characters introduce these new characters with new powers. Like, for those of you who haven't watched it, sorry, this is a spoiler, but Mohinder, who has been searching for how...
He sounds like a Native American who stops people from doing things.
except he's Indian from India.
Oh, okay. So
and
that's
he's that way because there was an Indian character on Lost, and they thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
So he figures out how they get their powers. He's been searching for it. And then he's like, wait, so you get your power when you're angry. Of course, it's the adrenal gland. Here, let me take some of your adrenaline, inject it into myself. Now I have powers!
Yeah.
And his powers, of course, turn him into Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Or
like, you can't... Spider-Man, regardless of being a comic book, is a very popular series of movies that a lot of people have seen.
Yeah.
So you can't have somebody have the powers of Spider-Man and be like, this is original.
Yeah.
It turns out that it was the simplest possible explanation for how they got their powers also.
Yeah.
If you were suddenly getting superpowers, I'd be like, probably some sort of hormone in their body that's giving them powers. Like, let's just take their blood out and inject it into somebody.
And the worst is when he explains it.
I'm
a
genius.
He's like, don't you see? It's not in the blood. It's in the adrenal gland. And you're like, well, the adrenal gland puts stuff in your blood. Scientists!
Have the image in my head now of George Takei recording over and over again this DVD and fucking up the recording.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be two chapters. I'll have to redo it. And snapping the burned disc and throwing it away. And then burning another one with his secret message on it.
Well, one of George K's powers in the show is to be really good with, like, technology. So he can...
Oh, so
he
didn't even read the manual.
Yeah, no, he was real pro. That's why it's such smart writing, because a lot of people wish they were better with technology.
Right.
So it really applies to you and me.
Well, you know, of course, what his superpower is, right? He's a super smart computer because, he's Asian. I'm not being racist. They're being racist.
Yeah.
I'm being racist. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. And everyone knows that horrible stereotype that all Asians can time travel. As well. I know we're all trying to pump for that, and that's terrifying.
You're saying what everybody was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry to be the
last thing I'd say that drove me totally nuts, and this is a spoiler or whatever. Angela Petrelli, mother of the Petrelli brothers, at the end of the episode, tells Siler, she's like, you are my son. And of course, that makes total sense because they all have similar hair.
Yeah.
She was wrong back in the day.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I was like, holy crap, she had a lot of sons.
Yeah.
Well, her power is she loves penises.
She's like, my
boy. She's not like your grandpa.
Next thing we're going to talk about, The Green Hornet. Seth Rogen's Green Hornet is also going to star and be directed by Stephen Chow, who did Kung Fu Hustle.
Yay!
That was great. I was on the Kung Fu Soccer. Nope. Shaolin Soccer.
Yeah.
Shaolin.
Yeah. What do you guys think about this? Excited for this movie? Nervous? Don't care?
I don't know. It seems like it's going to be... They say that we're not going to make fun of this. I think they're going
to. I think the problem with the Green Hornet was that he was too much like Batman and not enough like a stoner. So this it's going to be the Batman that smokes pot and then talks about Back to the Future for like 20 minutes. It makes you get up and pause the DVD and then go get a drink of water and sit back down again.
Exactly. Don't even pause it. The way that the stoner comedy's on, I'm like, you're doing another stoner comedy? Come on, we get it. Funny things happen when you're high. Let's talk about something else.
If only that were true.
Yeah. If only it were true and real. Well, stoners wish funny things happened when they were high.
Yeah. Like they ate something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine.
The casting is pretty exciting. He'd be a good Kato. So.
Who would?
Stephen Chow.
Yeah, he's going to be Kato.
Seth Rogen would be a great Kato.
Yeah. Same body, switch it around. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. He's a good director. Stephen Chow's a good director, so I'm looking forward to that. It's just, I don't know if it's time yet for a goofy superhero movie. Like, I certainly wouldn't be
looking... There was Superhero Boy, which I'm sure we all saw.
Are they going to keep the fact that he drives around in a town car?
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. Like, Green Hornet was the most realistic superhero because he just had a luxury car. And then, I guess there was never traffic because people were so impressed by the car, they would just let it go. It was such a hot car.
And I didn't read a lot of Green Hornet, but that's all I ever imagined happens. It's him and Kato in the car being like, we got to solve this mystery. And then they would drive around, I guess,
let's
and gather clues. Yeah, I don't know what they did.
Well, we'll see next summer. Next thing we're going to talk about is Watchmen 2.
What?
Yeah.
They're going to release it first.
Yeah. So here's the thing. There was a couple of statements and a couple of things came out during this past week where there is a clause in all of the actors' contracts. This is a pretty standard clause that if there is a sequel, they are all on board for the sequel.
How's that even possible?
Well,
That clause was in the Godzilla contract for the main cast of that. They would do two sequels if the movie, if such were wanted to be put in production.
Right.
And luckily for all of them, those movies, and for humanity, those movies never saw.
Thank
God. But I remember they're like, the studio's so excited they signed up Matthew Broderick to two sequels.
Well, it ended so open. It ended with Jean Reno walking off in the distance, and they had that amazing piece of dialogue where the girl says to Matthew Broderick, who was that? And Matthew Broderick says, I don't know, some French guy.
It was brilliantly written. Like,
it was flawlessly written.
They brought Billy Wilder back from the dead to do and that's what happens. Unfortunately, his brain had decayed.
May he rest in peace. May he rest in peace.
Assuming Watchmen does well.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
No sequels.
You can't.
Wow. Well, yeah.
There's a sequel?
There's not. But
pay attention.
Here's what's happening.
All these funny things are happening.
The deal is that because the story has come out, and nobody really believes that they would actually want to make a sequel to The Watchmen, but then the discussion's been, well, what if it does really well? Well, the studio's really going to want to make a sequel to The Watchmen. DC has no spine. And
true.
So,
and
do you think there's a possibility that Warner Brothers would be like, why don't you do Watchmen 2? Release it as a comic, see how it does.
There's a big possibility of that, I think.
Yeah.
And what would they even do?
Prequel.
Someone's killing the Watchmen again.
Yeah, right. who watches the Watching Watchmen?
Who watching the Watchmen? Yeah, there was. Did anyone ever read the script for the Watchmen that for what? Not the Watchmen. For Watchmen that Terry Gilliam was going to direct and they didn't want to direct it years ago, where it was like they called the old Minutemen super team the Watchmen to make it that much clearer to the audience. Listen, morons, the Watchmen. And then that one left it open for a sequel at the end if they wanted it. If the one that I read was an actual one and not just one of the screen like. Along the lines of the screenplays I used to pick up in the back room of my comic book store at home that bore no resemblance to anything that was ever made at all.
That's how the stoners of your town would get a little money.
Yeah.
Right,
we better type up the James Cameron Spider-Man script fast, or else our buzz is going to go away. All right, we'll make the villain Electro, whatever.
That's how they wrote Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. Nice one. I was just going to say, do you think if there was, let's say sake of argument, because clearly we can't do a whole lot about it, they do release a Watchmen 2 as a comic book, would you pick it up?
No.
Who's out there saying
don't
stereotypical
speak
Italian things? Someone's like, no. What are we doing to that?
It's the guy in the back.
Yeah, oh yeah. We're going to eat that pizza pie. Yeah, I mean, I would. Who would they get to write it? What comic book writer would be like? You know, who would do it? Fucking Mark Millar.
Yeah.
He would do it, and it would be.
And
terrible.
He'd come.
It would be all Dr. Mad and be like, look at my big dick.
Like, this fucking blows Watchmen out of the water.
Yeah.
He's just like, Watchmen times 100 plus another Watchmen.
Exactly.
This is what Alan Moore would have written if he had balls.
Over to
we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. Who would like a chance to win $25 free in the form of a gift certificate to Midtown Comics? There first guy, hand up. Come on down. Hey, what's your name?
Matt.
Matt, audience?
Audience.
Hey,
Matt.
Sure. So Matt, how this is gonna work is I'm gonna read you the question. You listen to all three possible answers.
Sure.
Pick the correct one. You get 3 for 3. Gift card yours.
Woo-hoo!
All right, here we go. Today's topic is gonna be on Heroes.
Okay.
All right. Who on Heroes has the lamest power?
This is fact based.
Is it A, the cheerleader? She even said so. B, Noah Bennett. Noah Bennett, he doesn't even have any. Or C, Hero. Man, is that guy annoying.
I gotta go. Not having any powers is super lame on a show called Hero.
He's correct! I would have accepted any of them.
I still want to be logical about it.
Okay, good, good. Season 3 is called Villains. If there is a season 4, what would be the title? Would it be A, Vigilantes, B, Fugitives, or C, hey, Lost is a good show?
Wow.
C.
Correct! Change one thing about Heroes. Would you A, kill everyone, B, have more action, less talking, C, fire all the writers except Jeff Lowe because he's very nice to us, or D, seriously, what would you do different?
All of the above.
All right! Yeah! This puts you on the spot. If you had complete control of Heroes, what would you do?
I'd get rid of all the people in Las Vegas, because that never goes anywhere.
Hey! All right! Give it up for Matt! Congratulations!
All right. As we all know, I don't know. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. What are you guys looking forward to? Pete?
I'm real excited. Obviously, they're doing a Scar big special. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I got a sneak look at it. It is really cool because it really gets into the whole planet where Scar is from. You get a little background about what his deal is, why he's so angry, and you get to know a little bit more about his mom. It's, you know, it's fantastic.
It's like going on a date with Scar. Which then was another dream of yours.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to Northlanders number 10.
Aw, oh, you fucking douche.
What a harsh.
Well, seriously, out of all the comics that's coming out,
there are not a lot of great things coming out.
Fuck you, Powers is coming out.
Come on, Pokemon Charm Figure Series 5 Gotcha is
coming out. Have they not collected them all yet? When?
That's the last issue. It was like, well, we're done. Collection complete.
Yeah. Before it was like, gotta collect them all, we're having fun. Now it's like, we've got to collect them all. Why?
Well, the Pokemon is extinct. You did your job.
Yeah!
Anything else to say about Northlanders?
No, it's a great series. This is the second of a two-part
God, I can't wait. It's
going to
be awesome.
Oh, fuck off. You're going to buy the latest Wolverine one-shot that came out.
Yeah.
It's coming out tomorrow. They release one every week for the last, like, 6 months.
Yeah, that one's called Wolverine Choppy Choppy.
Yeah.
Hey, mock it all you will, but I fucking awesome.
And this one, he adds a fourth claw to his hand, so he can put it for a little bit.
Of nothing but claws.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Have you seen Edward Scissorhands? I know I bring this up a lot. Watch that, you'll love it.
Angel Revelations, number 5. This series is amazing. It's the last issue, so I wouldn't recommend necessarily picking it up. But once they release the trade, definitely get it. The art is gorgeous and the story is great.
Yeah. let's say a new issue of Captain America coming out.
Yeah. Brubaker.
That's a, I love that series a lot right now. And it's just reaching the point where I want to see this storyline end. And then in the last page of last issue, to be concluded. It was like, it was the most excited I've been to see the phrase to be concluded since the end of Back to the Future 2 when I first saw that phrase.
Yeah.
And I realized there's something else beyond to be continued.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And it opened up new worlds for me of finite length stories.
To infinity and beyond.
Yeah, I think it's a great message.
Yeah. Anything else you want to plug?
All sorts of stuff to plug.
Yeah.
If you'd like to watch The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, that's on television.
Nightly show.
Weeknights at 11, and then they replay it like 8 times throughout the day.
Yes, they do.
So if you TiVo it, you have to erase all of the replays throughout the day, which is frustrating. Thanks, Time Warner. But also, I write a column for the newspaper Metro, which you may have shoved into your hands at the entrance to the subway station on Fridays, so look out for that. It's the one with a picture of me on it that I hate. because I was standing there non-committally, and they said, try one with your arms crossed. And I went like this, and they went, there, we got it, that's good. And it was, so now I look like a dick.
What's the name of your column?
Highway or the Highway?
It's part of their My View column series. But I want, because my name is Elliot Kalin, I wanted to call it Kalin Around. But, but they didn't like that, so it's just My View. But this week I think it's going to be about presidential debates or something like that. I got to get it in by tomorrow evening, so it better be.
Here, read this DC issue.
Here's some ideas. but that's on Fridays, and then I also am involved in a podcast called The Flophouse, which is where me and two other guys watch recent bad movies, and then we discuss what's wrong with them. And it's funnier than it sounds, because we have trouble staying on topic. So.
When Watchmen 2 comes out,
it's down to the point now where, like, when a movie comes out, I get really excited about it. I'm like, oh, swing vote. I cannot wait till that's on DVD so we can rip that apart. But I don't want to see it so much as I want to, like, have the experience of seeing it. And then,
well, nobody so much as wants to see swing vote.
Did it come out yet?
It came out and closed within about a week.
Amazing. I love that they think a picture of Kevin Costner on a billboard can sell movies.
Leaning out of the window of a car.
Yeah.
That's not even like he's doing anything.
It's like they were like, remember Tim Cup? Oh, no, you don't? Oh, boy. Big trouble.
All right, a couple of things to plug before we go. Next week we're going to have Ivan Brandon on the show. He's the author of Secret Invasion, Home Invasion, as well as several stories in Marvel Comics Presents. We're also going to have Andy McDonald, the creator of NYC Mech, is going to be on the show, so that should be a lot of fun. You can check us out almost every day at youtube.com/comicbookclub with new videos there, talking about comic books.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
It's really exciting.
We always stay on topic, though.
It's a lot like this, but we drink.
Your British accent is slipping.
Yeah. Oh, no! Oh, God. Why am I wearing this vest? It's so obvious.
A couple of people want to thank. We want to thank Elliot for being on the show. Well, first of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks for coming.
Take you guys' pictures for you.
Oh no!